This passage from Zechariah embodies the ambition, the future of the Jews. They had been so graced by God, so forgiven by God, and they had the Torah. They knew the way to live. And they had the temple where God dwelt. God didn't dwell like in a house, but he was there. And they expected that when the plan was fulfilled, all the world would stream to Jerusalem to learn Torah and to worship at the temple. And this is their, this is a text which embodies that. Now, what do you do when you read it? You know? 10 men of every nationality, speaking different tongues, shall take hold, yes, take hold of every Jew by the edge of his garment and say, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You see, all of that has to be transposed. Did that promise come to fruition? Yes. Yes. One Jew is God. And he is the center. And he created this people who are now the people. He had 12 new patriarchs. You see? So that the heart, God choosing, God speaking, God guiding, God forgiving, and working with one group, you see, that's the biblical plan. But the difference is, now we know that we are obliged to go and tell the whole world. There is no more going to happen except the end of the world. So this is it, you see? And that's why this text is quite beautiful, see? Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek another problem. Excuse me, but we have the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. But the Lord is an abstract word, isn't it? The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The text says Yahweh. And it's just a shame, in a way, that we've lost that personalness. It's been translated since the Septuagint, the Greek translation, by Kyrios, the Lord, the Emperor. And you lose that we're talking about a person, if you will, three we now know, the Lord of hosts. Now, we're starting here in Luke, what's called the Perean Journey. Our Lord goes down south, and then he turns east and goes across the Jordan. That's what Pedeia means in Greek, the other side. So he goes, it's the other side journey. And then he starts down, all the way down to Jericho. Then he goes back east to Jericho, and then goes up to Jerusalem to die. And so this is why this text, you see, I guess it's tough. Almost every line, I went upstairs to get my own Greek Bible to show you, and then I came back downstairs and forgot it. So I'll have to just point it out. When the days for Jesus to be taken were up, taken up, analepsis, taken up, like Elijah, you know, to enter into a whole new state of being, which is what the ascension is all about, and why the ascension is the patronal feasts of the liturgy, because now the Lord has a new mode of presence to the Father and to us. And now there are sacraments. He works through matter. The ascension, as I think I mentioned, the ascension is not his absence. It's a new mode of presence. so. He set his face. He resolutely determined. Why couldn't? Well, never mind all that. He set his face. Try to pray today and say, Lord, what is St. Luke telling us by that? You see how determined he is to go ahead with the Father's will? In the Synoptics, as you know, there's only one journey to Jerusalem. It's true, but it's also a way of editing the material. So in the Synoptics, our Lord is in the north, and then he comes down. For Luke, he goes over like this. For the others, he comes down the middle and arrives at Jerusalem and dies. Rises, goes back up to Galilee. In Matthew, in Luke, he stays in Jerusalem, and so forth. You can see that part of this is a way of disposing the material. You have to go deeper. He set his face. He knew what he was doing. The text says he sent angels ahead of him, angelos. Well, an angelos is a messenger. I mean, that's okay with that. But you lose the I will send my angel before you, which is what God promised the people in the book of Exodus. I'm trying to point out, as I have some other times, the power of allusion. This is a sacred moment. Jesus is on his way now to fulfill, you see, the days of his life on earth. And so he sent angels ahead of him, messengers ahead of him, as Moses did, as God did. Okay. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception. That's all right. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. Well, it really isn't the destination of his journey. The destination of his journey is total transformation, total divinization even of his humanity, and an eternal place with the Father. That's the destination of his journey. But the way to get there is through the cross. And so that's part of it. And so he has set his face. He's going through a Samaritan town. They found out that this crowd was on their way to Jerusalem. No way. Such an offense in a Semitic world is unbelievable. The lack of hospitality. Even to this day, when we got roads and soda fountains and, you know, at least in the cities, when you're alone in the desert, you're vulnerable. And people have to help each other. And the law among the Bedouins is still very stringent. There was a man, and of course to be expelled from your tribe means to be nobody. He was expelled from his tribe because he stole a camera from one of the tourists. We don't steal. We have to help one another survive. And that concept of hospitality is carried over even into the cities. To this day, when you walk into a Palestinian house, they give you water, coffee, and chocolate. And if it's the right season, they give you fruit. I remember once in the desert, we were going by this Bedouin tent. We were walking, remember that. And Aileen, to the woman bound at the tent with the animal. And the man was up on the hill watching everything, of course. And the woman came out with cheese wrapped in bread for us, you see, because we're in the desert. That goes on, and so this, the insult, the Samaritans, you cannot come into our town. It's deeper than, you can't go into Bethesda, you can always go up to Gaithersburg, you know. Not here. And so it's this, so now they want to call down fire. They want to be a new Elijah. Call down fire. And Jesus rebuked them, turned around and said, don't you dare think like that. Who do you think you are? You are sent now to preach salvation to the world, including to those Samaritans. Don't you dare talk like that. And they went to the next village. The key, I think, in this gospel text is to ask the Lord, what does it mean he set his face toward Jerusalem? What kind of love, what kind of obedience, what kind of love for us? He knows where he's going. He knows what's going to happen. And then ask the Lord, have I set my face for my goal? Have I set my face? Is nothing going to distract me from what you have called me to do?